This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross, back with Michael Jackson, one of the world's leading experts on beer. After we talk about how beer is brewed, I'm going to ask him to rate some of America's best-known brands. Jackson has a new book called Michael Jackson's Beer Companion. Could you give us a very brief summary of the process of beer making? The kind of simplest version
that
you could come up
with.
Well,
if you imagine wine is made from fruit, usually grapes. Beer is made from grain, usually barley. You can just stomp on the fruit and the grapes, and that will give you the juices that ferment. You can't quite do that with barley. You have to steep it in water until it begins to sprout, and then dry it to stop it sprouting beyond the optimum point. And when you've done that, you've changed your grain into malt. I mean, everybody's heard of malt, but people often don't know what malt is. Well, what malt is grain that has been partially germinated. You then make an infusion or a decoction of that, which is really like the pressing the grapes. I mean, you're getting the juices, as it were, out of the grains. And that's the point where you add the hops. The hops are the seasoning. The juices of the grains, the malt sugars, would be rather too sweet and cloying on their own. And the hops add dryness and bitterness and flowery flavors, slightly herbal flavors that balance that out. And when you add the hops, you boil all of that together to weld those flavors together. So you now have essentially barley malt juice, which you've boiled up with some flowers off the hop vine. And that tastes already, it's beginning to taste rather like beer. You then ferment that with yeast, and during the fermentation, the liquid creates alcohol and also creates a natural carbonation. And that's it. You've got beer.
How long does it take?
The actual brewing part only takes a day. The fermentation part takes 1 to 2 weeks, and the maturation part takes anything from 1 week to 1 month to 3 months, occasionally longer. It depends what kind of beer you're making. There are beers you can make in 2 to 3 weeks' time, and there are some beers, a very few, that take almost a year to make.
Are there certain beers you particularly like to drink when you're in the United States?
Well, I love beers of distinctive character wherever I am and wherever they're made. So when I'm in the U.S., I'm first of all looking for what's local. Is there something that's local? And if there is something that's local, is it particularly interesting? After that, I'm looking for very assertive beers. I mean, I mentioned the Anchor Steam Brewery, and they make a product called Anchor Liberty Ale, which is just wonderfully dry and hoppy and full of the aroma of Northwestern hops, and that's a terrific style of beer that several other American brewers have made similar examples of that. The Grant's Brewery up in Yakima, Washington, right in the heart of hop-growing country, has a beer called IPA, which means India Pale Ale, which is modeled on the style of beer that the British used to send to India, very, very well hopped in order to manage a long, long journey. And that's another of those very, very intense, very hoppy flavors. Every year there's a thing called the Great American Brew Festival in Denver, Colorado, and I was at that a couple of weeks ago, and the Boston Brewing Company, who makes Sam Adams Lager, they had a thing called Triple Bock, which was almost like a sherry. Actually, it was more flavorful than any dry Oloroso sherry I've ever tasted. That was an astonishing beer. The Pike Place Brewery in Seattle occasionally make a beer with oysters in it called Oyster Stout, which is a pretty remarkable beer.
Can I ask you your impressions of a couple of the big commercial beers in the United States?
You can try me.
Okay. Why don't we start with Budweiser? That's the world's biggest selling beer.
It's the world's biggest selling beer, although 90% of its sales are in the United States. So it's a bit like the sort of the World Series.
Right.
And you guys all want to kick Toronto out because they're not Americans. how can it be a World Series then? Budweiser is a very light-tasting beer with a little bit of fruitiness in it. I'm not sure that fruitiness is really appropriate to a lager. But that's really all you can say about it. They go to enormous trouble to make Budweiser. The processes they go through, the choice of hops, the number of different hops they use, the whole procedure they have of Beechwood aging, they go to an enormous amount of trouble. But I'm not quite sure why one would go to all of that trouble to produce something so light in taste.
Now, what about Rolling Rock? It's a beer brewed in Pennsylvania.
Rolling Rock has got a great deal of mystique in America, or certainly in certain parts of America, especially in the Northeast. I think there's something funny about the name. There's a mysterious number on the label that nobody can explain what it means, including the brewers. It was a relatively small regional brewery, although it's owned by Labatt's of Canada. But there's nothing special about the beer, really. I mean, it has a sort of touch of new mown hay in the nose, which is a sort of classic lager characteristic of some Bavarian lagers, but there's nothing special about it.
Let me ask you about two of the popular light beers, Miller Lite and Amstel Lite.
Amstel Lite is drier than Miller Lite. I don't see any point whatever, ever, in drinking a light beer. If you're worried about your figure, either don't drink beer at all, which is probably the most sensible thing if you're one of these people who puts on a lot of weight from drinking beer, or just drink really good beer, but drink less of it. I always think of, when I think of light beer, I have this image in my mind. It always seems to be blonde ladies in airport lounges, who are always drinking light beer, and they're always sitting on a bar stool, wearing a short skirt, crossing their legs, drinking this light beer, and their other hand is swooping down into a bowl of taco chips, which they're eating as fast as they can. And there are as many calories in one of those taco chips as there are in a whole glass of beer.
But light beer does have considerably less calories, doesn't it?
Well, it does have... It has...
Not than tacos, maybe, but than other beer.
It has fewer calories, but it's just... I mean, it's just not worth drinking. I mean, you'd just be better off to drink the beer you like and not drink so much of it.
What if you're just having one beer?
To me, there's some sort of nonsensical denial here. Either you're drinking beer or you're not. If you're going to drink beer, drink beer. To me, light beer, I don't want to stop people having it if they want it. This is a free country. Let them have it if they want it. But I absolutely,
you're generous.
I absolutely refuse to say anything nice about light beer. In fact, it irritates the hell out of me to see the word light on anything. Either do it or don't do it. You know, if you don't want to eat... if you don't want to eat a plate of fries, don't eat fries, but don't sort of try and get something called light fries. You know, cigarettes that have got light on them, it's just a totally meretricious word.
Michael Jackson is my guest. His new book is called Michael Jackson's Beer Companion. One question about a Chinese beer. A lot of people, when they eat at Chinese restaurants, order Tsingtao.
Well, Tsingtao is quite a nice, light, dry, flowery beer. It has a bit of hop floweriness to it, and you could argue that that goes quite well with Chinese food. I'd still prefer to drink tea with Chinese food, really. But the notion that a beer
Wait, this is Michael Jackson saying he preferred tea with a meal?
Yes, I would prefer tea with Chinese food. And
why?
Because I just think tea goes better with it. You know, that's what you drink with Chinese food in China. Does this notion that you drink lager beer with Indian food, which lager? I mean, which is supposed to be the right one to drink with Indian food? I prefer lassi, really. It's more a more appropriate drink to drink with Indian food. There's a notion out there that if you have ethnic food, you should have the beer of that country. Well, most of those countries aren't really great brewing nations, and beer isn't really a part of their culture, and the food is a part of their culture. There's the odd case where an ethnic beer does go, I think, quite well with the ethnic cuisine. A Tsingtao beer from Thailand, there's something about the intensity of hop character of that beer that goes well with those sort of lemongrass flavors that you will find in a lot of Thai food. But these examples are few and far between. I once tried to design for a restaurant. In fact, I did design for a couple of restaurants a beer to drink with Italian food, because there's no real point in just drinking a mainstream Italian beer with Italian food. I mean, if you're not going to drink wine, then you do need a beer that goes with the spicy, rich flavors of Italian food. So I went for a more sort of Vienna-style lager, and I think that works. But on the whole, these beers just don't really exist.
Let me get back to Tsingtao. If beer isn't really a part of Chinese cuisine, why is there a Chinese beer?
The Chinese like to drink beer. It's a very refreshing beer, and they do make a lot of beer. What I'm really just saying is that there's nothing specific to their beer that makes it really go particularly well with their food.
Did another nation bring beer to China, or is it indigenous to the area?
The Germans brought beer to China. The Tsingtao, the town of Tsingtao, is in the province of Shandong, where, you know, Shantung cloth comes from. And that was in a trading relationship, a sort of colonial trading relationship with Germany for a long time. And that's why that beer was introduced there. I've never been to Qingdao, but I'm told it's very much like some of the cities on the German Baltic. It actually resembles some of those cities architecturally and so forth. The Chinese, I mean, the fermented beverage of China is sake. And even the Japanese will acknowledge that the Chinese introduced sake to Japan.
Do you think that England has different beer drinking habits than the United States does?
The beer drinking habits in every country are a little bit different. In Britain, beer is very sociable. I mean, a huge amount of beer is drunk in pubs. About 80% of beer is drunk in pubs, which is quite the opposite to the situation in the US. So it's being drunk in a sort of as part of a social activity. I mean, the pub in Britain is almost like the church. It's a place where you meet your neighbours and ask how their children are and exchange stories about places you went on vacation or what things people you've seen and so forth. And that's more so in Britain than it is anywhere else. In Germany, in the south of Germany, it's almost as though it's a religious experience, drinking beer. In Belgium, it seems to be a part of gastronomy. I once asked a Czech about Czechoslovakia, where they drink a lot of beer, and of course there we were in the country of Kafka. And he said, oh, it's in drinking beer in Czechoslovakia is a philosophical experience, which I think it probably is. In the US, it's very much associated with the rites of passage into adulthood and with the student years, and much as I think that must be great fun for the students, it's a shame, really, that because it, in a way it does, it somehow trivializes it. It somehow makes beer a bit of a thing that you drank too much of when you were a student. And it associates it with a lot of, I think, rather silly macho. And I think the industry has an awful lot of blame to bear here for the way that it advertises beer in association with sport. I just can't see what beer has to do with sport at all. I don't really see any particular relationship between the two. And I think that by advertising beer as something to do with sport, physical prowess, perhaps sexual prowess as well, the industry is really walking right straight into the arms of the neo-prohibitionists.
How so?
Well, it's sending out all the wrong messages. It's sending out messages that are spurious at best, if not just out and out untrue. And it's really sending out messages that encourage people to drink too much and not to treat beer with respect. And I think people should treat beer with respect, and people should treat alcoholic drinks with respect.
Did you ever go through a period during your youth when beer was the drink of pranks and macho, and when you drank too much?
Yes, in short. I drank much too much throughout the whole of my teenage years, and happily I've survived to tell the tale. But, you know, one shouldn't take these things too lightly. We can't make life so utterly safe that nobody experiences any kind of danger or ever has to use any judgment. And if people never did have to use any judgment, they'd never learn how to, would they? But we should be aware of the dangers inherent in that sort of attitude. And I do think that it is too much the case in the United States, that it's too much the case that beer is rooted in that time of people's lives.
Michael Jackson, thank you very much for talking with us.
You're very welcome.
Michael Jackson's new book is called Michael Jackson's Beer Companion. It's published by Running Press. This is Fresh Air.